Hi, Juliet the Rabbi here, coming to you from New York City. I'm back. I was away last week. I was at a conference, the Kala Conference in Pennsylvania. I'm back. So here I am. Yeah, skipped last week. This week I'm going to talk about along the way, Maaseh Matot. We're coming to the end. We are at the end of the Book of Numbers. The Kala Conference, I don't know if you remember, before I went away, I was hoping that it would be magical, and I had this feeling that it would, but I was terrified. But it was as magical as that I hoped it would be for me. I was so terrified. I was filled with so much anxiety the weeks before going away. It felt really big to be going to this conference as a newly ordained rabbi, leading services, and yeah, as a colleague to the other clergy now. And I asked myself, am I worthy? Can I do this? Of course I could do it, but was I worthy? I just was having all these things about, you know, would they come? I barely slept the first two nights. The schedule was insane. You had breakfast happening from 7 to 9. You had services happening anywhere in that time frame until 8:30. Classes started at 8:45. You had different choices for which services you wanted to go to. There were also a lot of events at night. So if you weren't a morning person, then you weren't going to come. So I was like, nobody's going to come to my thing. Oh, I was just so anxious, even though I was really prepared. And, you know, oh, this other person, she's so well known. She's leading at the same time. Everybody's going to go to hers. They're not going to come to mine. I was a mess. It was crazy. And I was anxious about getting up early and making sure that I had my morning routine of self-care. I do Qigong. I needed to go out on the grass, put my feet in the grass. It was so hot and humid. First couple days I did that, and then after that I couldn't. But I was waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning and not going back to sleep. I mean, has that ever happened to you? I'm sure. So yeah. So what happened? There was even, yeah. So it went great. That's what you're waiting for. How did it go? It went great. People said that they went deep into prayer and very quickly. They were so grateful. I got some really nice, it was wonderful. And I finally felt worthy. And I felt that way the whole week. And I feel like it's a feeling that I came back with. I had a very profound conversation with a classmate of mine in my morning class. At the end of the week, these are the kinds of things that happen that you can't, there are these little magical things that happen. So here was this woman, young woman. I didn't know anything about her. I had never sat with her during the week, and we got into our little chavrusa groups, and they changed, you know, depending on where we were sitting in the class each day. And here I am with this woman, and we're doing this profound exercise of what do you need sealed on your heart? We had chanted. I was in Shefa Gold's chanting class, Love at the Center. How do we live with love at the center? So here she is. We've chanted, and now we're supposed to take notes, and then we're going to share with each other. And you don't know anything about this other person, and we're sharing our deepest wounds, our deepest fears, and we get to her and she says, there were three of us and she was second. And she said, what I need sealed on my heart is that I am worthy. And I said, oh, well, yeah, you and the rest of us, right? I mean, I didn't say that, but that's what I'm thinking. But, you know, this is hard for her to share. And then I find out that she's a singer and a songwriter, and that she sang the other night at the cabaret, which I didn't go to because I'm not a night person. I'm a morning person. I had to get up in the morning anyway. So I was one of those people getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning, you know, or 5:30 or whatever. So I look at her name tag and I'm like, wait, you sang at the cabaret? What's your name? Oh, people have been talking about you. What do you mean you're not worthy? They said, you're amazing. They told me I had to hear you no matter what, that I had to find a way. And so she's like, oh, thank you. Thank you. And so this was this magical moment. There were a lot of magical moments. But the feeling of worthiness, I shared it so profoundly with her. Like I knew exactly what she was talking about. And this is what people tell me about myself. Of course they want, of course you're a good prayer leader. Of course, blah, 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 blah. You know, people want to study with you. People want to, and, but there's this feeling no matter what. And so somebody had told her, oh, but you need to find that feeling within you. And I was sitting at lunch with her and this other friend, close friend of mine. She's like, I actually think that's bullshit. And I said, I agree with you because we have a lot of negative voices out there that we have been brought up with from our childhood, telling us that we're not worthy, that we're not good enough. So we need other voices that will counteract that feeling as we build up, as we do our inner work at the same time. So that was a magical moment also. And as if that wasn't magical enough, my classes were perfectly juxtaposed. I had a light, the topic for the morning was life, how to live your life through love, with love at the center. And in the afternoon, death, Jewish views on the afterlife. And I had come with this question. So, you know, my group, I think I told you about this group that I formed. I could call it an organization. I don't know what to call it. It's a collective of Jewish women clergy. And we're about to launch our website. And we were talking last time and I was like, I need to figure out, you know, we were talking about what we were going to offer. What does each of us, what calls to each of us to do together, to do separately, and how are we going to support each other in that? And I thought, oh, I really don't know what I want to teach. Like, I know I want to teach. I know I want to offer a class, but I couldn't figure out what. And I thought, ah, maybe when I go away, I'll get an answer. And I had come with all this spaciousness too. Like I didn't have anything to do except prepare for my, my services that I was leading, the Torah service and the prayer service. And I spoke to my mashpia about it. I talked to my spiritual director and I was like, I feel like the spaciousness is here for me because I'm going to go away. When I come back, maybe I'll have some answers of what I want to do for what I want to do. Oh, I want to read you this beautiful prayer. Sorry for the sidetrack. I want to read you this beautiful prayer that my spiritual director brought to me at the beginning of our session. Usually she shows me her paintings, which are watercolors, and they're not of anything in particular, but she asks me to talk about what I see. And at the end, she asks me to talk about, to look again and see if anything has changed. But this time she came to me with a prayer. And it was a perfect prayer for me because it was exactly what I had been thinking about. And here's the prayer. Blessed are you, source of direction, who offers to whisper in our ears and hearts guidance for our way. Allow us to quiet ourselves to hear and receive you fully, and enable us to be like a watered garden, even in the parched places of our lives. By Joel Kushner. I don't know who he is, but it's a beautiful prayer. And I had been thinking about that. What is it? What is whispering in my ear? What messages am I trying to receive? So here I was. I got what I was looking for. I on only day two of my classes, this question was answered. I knew what course I would be designing this summer, or maybe it'll take a year. I don't know, because I have this big fat book to read on Jewish views of the afterlife. It was an amazing class, but it's just the tip of the iceberg. And I knew what I would be designing for my group. So, and it also came to me that it's time for me to start writing my book. And I came up with a with a title. It came to me also, Love and Fury in the Time of COVID. If you know Gabriel Garcia Marquez as a writer, Love in the Time of Cholera. This is what came to me. Love and Fury in the Time of COVID. From Communist to Rabbi, or Communist to Rabunist. I don't know. I'm not sure if that works or not. It's going to be a compilation of these past 3 years of blogs. And of, well, I haven't been doing the podcast for 3 years, but yeah, I'm writing a book. So yeah, please go check out my website, realrabbinyc.com. I'm not finished. I'm just telling you that. So everything was so magical. Like, it felt like little miracles. This week's Parsha, as we come to the end of the book of Numbers, lists all the place names the Israelites stopped at along the way on their journey through the desert on their way to the Promised Land. It's a dry list, very dry, just lists them all. These are the tribes, this is the tribe, this is where they stopped, blah, 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 blah. And then they stopped here. And then, but there's a midrash, a rabbinic story that imagines God telling Moses, write down all the places through which Israel journeyed, that they might recall the miracles I wrought for them. What a funny word, wrought. I wrought miracles. Guiding them safely through human and natural dangers. We feel like we're in the midst of a lot of human and natural dangers. The people, in this case, are to remember the places where they complained of lack of water. And then what happened? Water poured from a rock. Of lack of food. And then what happened? Manna fell from the sky. They complained of boring food. And what happened? Quail fell from the sky. The Midrash goes on. It says, it is like a king who takes his sick son to a specialist. And on the return journey, now that the son is better, he reminds him along the way, this is where you had a headache. Here is where we stopped to rest. Each place is an oasis, providing what we needed in the end. Here is the journey of my conference. This is how I'm going to end today's podcast, of my journey, or the journey. Along the way, we complained about the schedule. Along the way, we complained about the food. Too much tofu, tasteless tofu for vegans. Too much salt. My feet blew up like I have never seen them before. Back to normal now. Along the way, we complained about the beds. We were in a dormitory. We were in dormitories, you know. And we complained about how tired we were. We were not in a hotel. Along the way, we complained about our room keys not working. Not all of these things were my journey. They were a collective journey, I'm going to say. We complained about the heat and humidity, about flight delays due to torrential rains and lightning. We complained about people not wearing masks when they had cold symptoms. We complained of getting COVID or being exposed to COVID. But along the way, we had air conditioning. And along the way, we had friendly staff who worked so hard to accommodate us. And along the way, we made new friendships and deepened old ones. Along the way, we talked for hours. Along the way, we walked barefoot in the grass. Along the way, rain poured from the sky, providing much needed water. Along the way, we laughed and we cried. Along the way, we anointed people with olive oil on their foreheads as they came into Shabbat services. Along the way, we chanted and sang at the tops of our lungs. Along the way, we felt our prayers go up to heaven. We have a long way to go before we get to the Promised Land. But along the way, we must keep noticing the miracles and the magic. Good Shabbos, and say amen. See you next time. RealRabbiNYC.com. Bye.